Welcome to another episode of the After the Whistle podcast. I'm your host, Smiley, joined by Van Gelder and Crack. And first of all, before we get into anything, let me just once again highlight that for the second episode in a row, Crack the record from office. A Crack day in fact, extra formal wear today. Your man, they wear some solid pinstripe kaftan. They wear some cross. Like, bro, I really need everybody to just wear a look at Crack's fits for today. Because a Crack, we know, usually get some durag. Sometimes they wear some NBA jersey or something. This be complete 180.
Oh, he looks like Sub-Zero. He's in the Sheikh era. Sheikh Ibn Al Arafat the Fourth. We salute.
But anyway, today we don't get too much time for pleasantries because Ghana football is on fire. After losing back-to-back friendly games against Austria first 5-1 and then Germany 2-1, the Black Stars, or rather the GFA, have finally, as long last, pulled the trigger on Otto Addo. This is something that has been long overdue. People are asking why they are doing it now, because we only have 3 months to the World Cup. In fact, it's less than 3 months. I think the last time I checked, it was like 78 days or so. So it's very, very last minute. People say better late than never, but others too are very furious that they've left it too late, because now whoever comes in is going to have to pick a World Cup squad for his first Black Stars team selection. So there's a lot to break down with this whole situation. So I'm going to start with Van Gelder, because Van Gelder missed our last episode. How do you feel about the Otto Addo sacking? How do you feel about the timing of the sacking? And how optimistic are you that the GFA can find an adequate replacement?
Good evening to our cherished listeners and our viewers on YouTube. In fact, those of you that are just listening, you can't tell, but I have a very wide smile on my face because I'm a partially happy man. I didn't watch the game yesterday because me, I knew we would lose. In fact, when we equalized and I got a notification, I said, hey, we score goal. But eventually, I wasn't surprised that we lost. I went to bed and I quite remember that I was having a weird dream. But then I said, what kind of Namanyama dream is this? Make I just turn up. I turn up. I said, make I just check my phone. What happened? I opened Twitter. The first refresh, no, GFE. So at first, I thought it was them parody account some. So I clicked the profile top, but I see official, you know, Twitter account of the Ghana Football Association. GFA pathways with Coach Otto Addo. Then still I see it not be true. So I scroll down, I say I make I go check Kawawa's page. So I check Kawawa's page, I check Fentuin page where I see, so oh, it be true. Where I say, then I want to not do worship, but then my madam bed. So I say, okay, make her sleep. If I wake up, then I go to the But I'm a very, very happy man. This sack should have happened in November 2024 when Ghana lost to Niger. That was the time we were supposed to sack him. See, that was a good time to sack him. But the second best good time is today. So it's good that they've sacked him today. I'm not worried about the timing. Yes, does it put us in a very, very precarious situation? And I'm sure we'll come to that. Yes, it does. 73 days to the World Cup. Effectively, the game against Wales will be the only match the new coach would have the full complement of his squad, because the game against Mexico, 28th of May, then clubs still did their way. It'd be outside the window for international friendlies. So even the GFA has already announced that game safe. Then go use like local team, then some under 20 boys and some of the players they are, you know, on the periphery and are looking in to get into the Black Stars squad for the World Cup. So basically, the only game he could get in full squad be the game against Wales sometime early. And I think between the game against Wales comes after the deadline for the submission of the full squad for the World Cup. But coming back, we go get to that side later. But coming back to Coach Otto Addo being sacked, bro, I'm the happiest man alive in that regard. See, that guy is not good. I don't know why them chair. Look, in fact, when we didn't qualify for the AFCON, at that time, I heard that the only person and the only reason they didn't sack him. It's the other guy that I want gone, which is Keto Kureku. He's the only reason. Apparently, the entire executive committee of the Black Stars or the Ghana were all like, this guy has to go. I've never heard in my young history that a coach can handle the Black Stars, not qualify for AFCON, and still have a job. It's like this GFA, they are, I don't know, if them see success, then they won't vomit. If them see mediocrity, then they run to... You see that meme of, what be his name? Drake, where he do like this, then he do like, yeah, so if them see success, then they do, no. If them see failure, mediocrity, then they say, yeah, that's it. We are there. Why? We understand that Ghana is in a transition. We don't have, bro, we don't even have a right back. That's how bad. Like, the pipeline be dry. We don't get right, solid right back where Gofi play. So we have to play, technically, our best defensive midfielder, a right back. You see? But this coach, whenever I watched the Black Stars, it just looked like they didn't know what to do on the pitch. Occasionally, they will look like they are solid defensively. But immediately we get the ball, we don't know what to do. Both games against Austria, and I've only seen the highlights against Germany, but in my own fair estimation and assumption, I'm pretty sure it's exactly the same thing. Why was Jordan Ayew so deep? Why was the striker so isolated? We have one of the most informed forwards in Europe, in Antoine Semenyo. Why does he always look so ordinary when he plays in the Black Stars? Like, you go fit talk some things, maybe the player, somebody goes, oh, the player's no good. But see, the mark or the hallmark of a very good coach is that you can take players that are seemingly not good and make something useful or competent out of them. Otuado never made the Black Stars look even remotely competent. One game per way, I go fit talk say, maybe that one safe. That's the game against Mali that he won away. Me, I thought he would lose and he won that game. I've not seen any other match that he's coached that we've looked remotely... Look, I'm a Chelsea fan. I've seen Graham Potter. I've seen Frank Lampard. I'm looking at some hideous guy right now. Chinua Achebe Rosinho. He'll get coached past anybody. I've seen hideous coaching. But Otuado's own is a discovery. One lie. And if you look at the criteria by which the GFA said they were going to hire a coach, 10 to 15 years experience, somebody who had the highest level of coaching license and must have coached a senior level for more than 10 years. Bro, at the time they hired him, his highest level was coaching Hamburg under 15. This is the guy we took Ghana Black Stars and gave it to. And didn't sack after he didn't qualify for AFCON. So for me, somehow, you see, a broken clock is right twice a day. So the GFA, somehow, have landed into the right decision. Whether they wanted to play gymnastics, whether they wanted to play athletics, whatever games they wanted to play with it, somehow, they have landed into the right decision. But the worst part is, they've landed into the right decision, but they still look so incompetent because you've not even given this new coach a chance to prepare the squad, to know the squad, to put out what he wants them to do or how he wants them to play. Basically, he has one game against Wales and then the next game he's playing Panama and it's already the World Cup. Obviously, I don't trust them to bring in a quality coach. If maybe the second time the moving clock is right, is the appointment they go make, then maybe, just maybe, we are lucky. And maybe that competent coach can help them. But there's so much work to do on this Black Stars. There's so much work that the GFA has to do. You can't chop GFA president. Three consecutive AFCONs. One, we no go. Two, them eliminate we group stages. But make we no talk. If you pet know football, if you pet they understand football past anybody. Like, bro, we've seen success before. We've been here before. We've been here before. And so, for me, I'm delighted that he's gone. I'm more worried and angry about the timing of when they decided to sack him and the just the sheer level of incompetence that they've displayed. But let's just hope that, as I said, their next decision, which I have no faith in, by the way, is that they will land on some good coach and bring him, and hopefully the coach, even with this limited time, can at least put together a team that can represent Ghana properly at the World Cup. But it no go shock me if they can't serve with another serious bomb. Me, it no go shock me. Because that is that's their way. Every time they've had a chance to appoint a coach, they've made mistake after mistake after mistake after mistake. So it no go shock me if then go carry bomb, can't give we tell we say this bread where you know be bomb, it be the best bread, even Japanese milk bread self, it hard pass. This one be soft, it be nice, it be cool. So those are my preliminary thoughts. That I'm a happy man. My day has been very good because I've just been, you know, basking in the glory that we've sacked. In fact, today the weather was very nice that they sacked Otuadu. I'm a happy man.
So, crack. Otuadu sacking. I know that you there, you've been one of the most vocal anti-Otuadu campaigners over the past few months, past few years. So how are you feeling now that we finally seen the back of him? And how do you feel about, like, the timing of the sacking?
How do I feel about the timing of the sacking? I should have worn white, but then I forgot to iron my white. But then I wore black to still let you guys know that the death of Ghana football is still here. Look, ever since Ket took over, we've actually downgraded. We've gone backwards. I'm not big on comparing, like, Nyantechi to Ket, right? I mean, Nyantechi's time. Whatever, but I'm not trying to condone, like, what he did or try to say we miss him and all of that. But our standards was higher under Nyantechi. We were constantly going to the semifinals of AFCONs. Our first ever knockout stage was in Nyantechi, you understand? And if you think about it, our behavior as Ghanaians has seeped into GFA as well. Because why do we always hold on to things for it to be worse before we let it go? So, like, Ghanaians letting things go is so hard for them. And I know Otuadu's coming. People are saying that Otuadu is a stubborn guy, he's not a pushover and all those things. But I'm telling you that definitely there is a back door and there's a reason why Otuadu came. Ket doesn't have the balls to sack Otuadu. I'm telling you guys that on authority, even if I don't have fact, that this order came from above. I'm telling you. Because for even to have Aubameyang back, we're talking about this, saying that this is one of the worst coaching this one has ever seen. Most of the, like, look, there's no way, right? Austria play amazing football. You watch them in the Euro settings, they do well. But there's no way, even if we call under 20 this one, we should concede 5 goals to Austria. And I'm just happy. At least it wasn't SM in pole. Man, probably to the world. If it be SM, we then score on 5. Like, people start saying, we told you this and this. Almighty Germany, we concede 2.
We're not going to do that thing for you. Focus on the matter. Don't angry me. Don't angry me. It's all part of it. 5-1 then 2 are what be the difference.
I don't know. Hey, Charlie, really?
If this the World Cup, where England load we 5, Croatia load we 2, with the come out.
That's not what we are saying. All we are saying is, you people say, made them try at it again.
Best player on the pitch.
You understand? And what you need to understand is that SM letting the second goal go inside was the reason why Otuadu is gone. So please, he has done his part as well. Secondly, I personally don't want this GFA to ever do well in anything. I don't like the way they walk. I don't like the way they talk. I don't like the way they do things. As Kendrick told Drake, I don't like anything about them. Like, the way... Look, GFA is fully... We've been complaining about this. It's totally a business now. Why are you a GFA president and you have academy sentence? Like, the back door is too much. There are so many things. I always say that the coach football is dead. Division 1 is dead. Division 3 is dead. Like, our local league, I don't even want to talk about it. There was no way we... See, there is no way we are ever going to be successful under Kento Kriku. And all the shenanigans and all the nonsense he has done. You think the university won't pay him back? Going to do this to manipulate your way and winning the election again? And increasing your years in the constitution and things? What is this? What are we doing? What are we doing? And it's so annoying that once you hear the pa 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 pa, pa, then your patriotic antennas rise. That's what they pay, no?
Whoever do that, you sprinkle something for the beat inside.
See,
while
see, that anthem, once you hear it, I don't know what enters you. Because right now, we all get Ghana jersey finished. We don't go well. What? Because at the end of the day, we've all win the war against Nigerians. Am I happy Otuado is gone? Yes. But this screams structural problem. This screams the GFA don't know what they are doing, because there was no way Otuado should have survived after not taking us to the AFCON. I'm telling you, Van Gaal, that the group stage you were in for the World Cup qualifiers, if you and Smiley be coach and assistant, if you go qualify with, it'd be 2-3 now. Why? What did you want to do?
My record be serious. Oh, one match, one win. Make no try me.
I have a trophy. I have a trophy. It's in my cabinet inside. I go take show you people. Otuado, make a show win trophy. Make a show win trophy. Do you get it? There was no way we should have. And everybody and their mother knows that this guy is no good. We said it. We said it. Even the matches that we were winning, we're playing poorly. How are you here playing 5-back? Like, we have so much quality nobody to be playing this silly formation. Even if you are playing 5-back, say, how do you use Jordan? Do you know anytime we have a counter-attack, Jordan slows it down? And secondly, too, anytime we are playing in transition, we don't have more than 3-4 players moving in transition, because we are so deep that you only have 1 or 2, and sometimes you raise your head, you don't have anybody. How don't we have technically gifted players that you'll be putting them in core players? You were playing matches and sounds like you were playing Kudus as a 8. Just to accommodate other people. Like, you were playing Kudus and Partey 8 and 6. Are you mad? People talking about Semenyo. Semenyo will not be the first star that struggles in the national team. But I'm telling you that an adequate coach will let Semenyo know that, look, you are the star of this team. Everything is on your shoulder. We believe in you. You have the autonomy to do anything you want. Be creative. Be adventurous. Just give him that trust. He will do something. And then you talk about position. How many players in the Black Star can play right, left, middle, striker? All the 4 positions up top. How many people can play? He's one of the few people. Do you get it? It's one of the few people. So I don't understand why, like, they are trying to blame. Saying, I say, when you come to Ghana, doesn't do well. Yeah, if you are playing for a shit coach, it happens like that. A coach who lacks vision, that tells you that he has no tactics or style of play. He's only a reactionary coach. I don't know how we didn't sack him right there and then for him to say this. You don't understand that every coach has their own philosophy before you react to every opponent. So you and Kasa, what are you telling them? What are you teaching them? Just, I'm not teaching them anything. So you just know that once you are going to play this opponent, then we are going to strategize for him. This is what they learn for the Dortmund there. No wonder Dortmund has regressed in the past years. This boy didn't teach for them. As a serious coach, you leading a Ghana team. I was having this argument with people the other day that, like, this is one of our best attacking team we've had in a while. But they were arguing with me saying that, oh, no, what am I saying? I was like, no. Collectively, right, this be the first time we have proper attackers that you know that even from the bench, we can say you don't rate Kamal Adin. You can say this guy is playing in the relegation, the Fatah Ushaku. But he's the integral player in Leicester. You know, being fought, I want to tell you, team bet to me, I lose a match. But one player, they want to make a chance on Yade. And that's Fatah in Leicester. Do you get it? Whatever you say, see, when be the last time we get 2 quality attackers in the Premier League? When? We have Kudus and Semenyo. You can't tell me that we lack talent and attack. Do you get it? You can't tell me. See, I say Kudus, Semenyo, Inaki, this front three, on paper can battle any team in the World Cup. Tell me, say, Adelaide. Just check the team. Most teams, they don't get attack. Then get defense and make. They don't get attack. How many people get good attack like this? Kudus not be slouch. Semenyo don't be slouch. Inaki not be slouch. Do you get what I mean by that? So if even you go force Jordan play, let him play behind the striker. 4-2-3-1 finish. Because one thing I like about Jordan is how he's hold that play to win fouls and all those. Then bring him once again up. But unfortunately, right now he's the captain. The new coach will come. I don't know if he will maintain our captain, but then GFA will intervene and say Jordan in time. Make him be the captain. The interference be too much in our football now. More than ever. Too much now, more than ever. And Otuado to say that we don't have enough quality, trying to find out, are you mad? Are you mad? When the last time we get proper influx of foreign players playing in good leagues? So, see, this one a crop of players. You know, we say they play fucking leagues like that too. First time, if you call people from Israel and Uzbekistan and so, think about it too. Almost 90% of our players are in Europe. It is Smiley Adelaide. Like, think about it. And we have a group of young players. Then they call players and we don't say they might age catch them. But we have young players that if you put a competent coach under them, he can groom them in years. They'll be playing for years to come. From the Muammers to the Ishaku to the Semenyo to the... They're all young. When was the last time we've had... Like, aside Dede, may his soul rest in peace. What's his name?
Achu.
Dede Achu. Right, Asamoah Gyan was much older, but even that's safe. You understand? Even if you think about that time, how many attackers we get? If you watch one at bench, how many? If you come out Asamoah Gyan, what then will they do? Do you get what I mean by that? But even those teams have go finals of AFCON. That team even go finals of AFCON. Wakaso it is. Tell me, say right now we not get equally talented players we go female. So why are we acting like we don't have crop of good players? All of them can be shit. Same way with the can. I will bring this United reference. I'm already make everybody believe say the players not good for his system. But you go with the see the same players, different system and a different management. See what will they do? That's what I get up for now.
So for me, like I always say, there's never a bad time to sack a bad manager. Like, even if it be the day before a match, 30 minutes before a match, if you go sack him. I'm worried if I get safe, like, go sack him halftime of any match he played. So there's never a bad time to sack a bad manager. But at the same time, the GFA have not set us up for a positive World Cup campaign at all, because this is something that has been long overdue. I think Van Gelder was the one who was saying that this should have happened in November 2024 when we lost to Niger, because the moment they kept him on after that match, it set a new standard for the Black Stars. And that standard was a much lower standard than what we are used to. Because like Crack was saying, under Nyantechi, nobody wants to give him any credit or anything. But at the very least, there are certain things that you know that they were unacceptable. And that's not to say that we want him back or anything. But it's just to show you that there's a certain level that you should never go below. Because these things is cultural. The moment you say that, okay, we are going to pardon this manager for failing to qualify for AFCON, now another manager will come, he also fail, and then the argument will be that, okay, Otuado also failed, they didn't sack him, so why not also give this guy more time? And these are things that you should never allow to seep into your football. At the very least, there should always be a minimum standard that you always maintain. Otuado, his biggest achievement was qualifying us for the World Cup. And me personally, I never go give him that credit. Because when it comes to qualifying for the World Cup, that one is self-motivation. Black Stars players, when it comes to World Cup, nobody needs to. You don't even need to give a speech in the dressing room. You don't need to motivate them. Everybody wants to play in the World Cup. Because for most of those players, the World Cup is the reason why they even chose to play for the Black Stars. And anybody who, you know, there are people who say that, yeah, we know we are not being fair to him. He did well to qualify us for the World Cup. see, just ask yourself why every time there's a World Cup coming, that's when you see the dual nationals now coming out of the bushes, coming to declare themselves for the Black Stars. That, hey, Misef, I like my Ghanaian side. I've always felt a connection to the Black Stars, and I've always wanted to represent us, my motherland, all of those things. Every time there's a World Cup coming, and we've qualified for the World Cup, or maybe we are close to qualifying, that's when you see all the people who, some of them, you never even know, say those people, they hold Ghana passports, but suddenly they are all coming out to declare themselves. So it's just that simple. His biggest achievement, you can't really chalk it down to him. And if it was truly down to him that we qualify for the World Cup, why didn't we see that same form being replicated in the AFCON qualifiers? It was like day and night. We go and play AFCON qualifiers. We are the worst team in Africa. We go and play World Cup qualifiers. Suddenly, they look like a completely different team. Like,
and
what else could
you do? Smiley, yeah. Just to add to what you are saying, before I forget, if you study most of our matches, we're winning with set pieces, or we're coming back with set pieces. We'll go long stretches of not creating anything. Then either Jiku or some deflection in the ball, the boom, 1-0, then that's when he opens the door. I'm not saying that winning ugly isn't good, though, but that was our staple. If you watch most of our matches, chance creation was hard for us. You understand? Because you ask yourself that this guy was always trying to force wing play or put players that play inside at the wings, and sometimes you have problem, and your wing backs are not supposed to be wing backs.
Sorry, your creative midfielder was Jordan. That's all I can add. The person that he put in charge, your chief chance creator in the team, was Jordan Ayew.
And even the funny thing is that if you look at the stats that he was leading Africa or something in the I think either he was second or something in assist also, right? Most of them came from set pieces, declarize of football. Most of them came from set pieces, either from corner kicks or from free kicks. Trust me, only a few came from open play. And most of them, 90% came from set pieces.
I'm even very glad that you brought it up, because I remember during the last round of international fixtures, there was actually a stat that said that about 60% of the Black Stars' goals over the past 2 years or so had come from set pieces. So it's not be something we boys just talk like. We're actually scoring more goals from set pieces. From open play, we're hopeless. And the thing, back to the timing of the sacking and everything, it just shows you that there's no plan for the Black Stars. Like, the GFA just do things as they go. Because I think people have either forgotten or people don't know that just about a month or 2 months ago, the GFA made about 5 new coaching appointments, like coaching additions to the Black Stars bench. They appointed a new assistant coach. They promoted some of the youth team coaches to the coaching bench of the Black Stars. They added the Black Queens manager to the coaching staff of the Black Stars. That's Kim Lass, Bjorn Kegren, or whatever. Like, they added 5 new coaching staff. And then after 2 friendly games, you say that you're sacking the manager, which shows that there was not actually a plan. Because if maybe you already decided that you're on the verge of sacking Otto Addo even before these friendly games, you wouldn't be adding coaching staff to his backroom staff so soon before a new round of friendly games. Then suddenly you decide that, okay, now in these 2 friendly games, you've seen enough. You didn't see enough when we're playing AFCON qualifiers and we're losing to Niger and all sorts of teams. But even now we will play friendly matches where you can even make an argument that we are missing some key players. That's when you decide to say, oh, now there is too much. We can't take it anymore. Like, these are the things that it doesn't fill you with a lot of hope about the future of the Black Stars and whatever decision will be made going forward. But Otto Addo, nobody can say that he didn't deserve it. Like, since he came, it's just been excuses after excuses after excuses. I think recently, one of the last excuses he made was that the Black Stars, we don't have the talent pool of other countries like Germany and Argentina and co. So it's very hard for him to pick a set squad, and he's always having to try new players. And, like, it's very confusing, because has there ever been a time in our history when we've had the talent pool of those Argentina and Germany? When we went to, 6 AFCON semifinals in a row, including 2 finals, did we have that talent pool before now? You're trying to make it seem like the situation has changed. Most of the time, the truth is the Black Stars, we usually have maybe a set of maybe like 12 players who who most of the time they'll be called up. And then the others, the rest of the 11 slots or 13 slots or whatever it is, we are always trying new players. That's just what it is. The only thing I would say is that the Black Stars, maybe the slight disadvantage would be the fact that our players are scattered all over the world. I remember, was it a few months ago, there was this argument that, I think it was in relation to the whole Benjamin Asare situation. And there was this argument people were making that for a lot of us fans, if you're not playing in the top five leagues in Europe, then we think that you shouldn't be good enough for the Black Stars, you shouldn't be called up and all of that. To some extent, I understand why it's an advantage for certain countries that have their players playing in those leagues. Because the truth is, if your players are scattered all over, it's very hard to gauge their talent level. So if maybe you have a player playing in Uzbekistan, you have a player playing in Israel, you have a player playing in England, let's say the player playing in England, he's not on form. Maybe he's a striker who has scored 5 goals in his last 50 games. But you have a striker who is playing in Uzbekistan and he has scored 30 goals in his last 50 games. It is very hard to compare the talent level and the expectations you can have from those two players, because the worst player in England could very well be the best player in Uzbekistan. The only way to find out if truly they are on this level or they are on that level is to call them up and try them in the squad, see them fully. Because the thing is, African players too, in general, they are at a disadvantage in the sense that for European players, their path to the top is more straightforward. So you're a good player, some huge, big academy in England will scout you, they'll add you to their team. You're able to peg your level easier. But as an African player, you're already at a disadvantage for the fact that maybe you're starting in Africa. Now you have to find your way into some European academy or some European team or whatever it is. By the time you even make it to the first team of one of those teams, you are already maybe 22 or 23. That's when like eyes are really coming on you. And that's for the lucky ones. Most of them, 25, 26, if we are going by their real age. So obviously there's a disadvantage when it comes to that in terms of the fact that our path to the top is different from the path of other players. But in the end, like I said, there's never been a time when this hasn't been the situation. If anything, for me now we even have a better pathway to the top now than we used to maybe 20 years ago. Because now our players are being scouted at a much younger age. More big academies are being set up in Ghana here. Like, it's just generally an easier path to the top than it was back then. So for you to be using that excuse now, for me, it doesn't cut it. And as Crack was saying, for me, this attack, for example, I think this attack is probably among the best attacks we've had in a very, very long time. Because back then, honestly, it was Asamoah and Inshallah to a very large extent. So now that you have players like Semenyo, who is probably going to be nominated for PFA Player of the Year, you have Kudus, who actually started very well for Tottenham his first 2 months. He was actually doing very well before his injury came and derailed the season, but he's going to come back. I don't doubt that he's going to come back the same Kudus that we know. We have Inaki Williams, who he's a very, very solid piece to have in your team. Like, people might say that he hasn't turned up for the Black Stars, but if for the past 5 years nobody has turned up for the Black Stars, then you have to understand that the problem is deeper than the players. These players are not at the level that we've been made to believe that they are. Semenyo, for example, that's one of Otuado's biggest failures, and that was one of his biggest red flags. Because when you watch him playing for the Black Stars, you don't see a player who has been set up to be one of the key players for the Black Stars. You see Semenyo like how maybe a Chelsea uses somebody like Garnacho, like just a player who you just do your side and make some runs. Every now and then we go find you. You don't see a player who they are trying to play through him specifically. They are specifically trying to find him the ball in dangerous areas. Yesterday, during the Germany match, most of the time, he's either receiving the ball very deep in the box and expected to make like some 60-yard run and set up somebody, hardly ever being found in the final third of the pitch. Like, you don't see any game plan for Semenyo as somebody who is a special player who should be treated differently. The way they use Semenyo is not much different from the way they use Kamal Dean. They just use him as another runner in the team. And it's the same for a lot of other players we have in the team. Caleb Yirinchi, him, for example, he's one of the most in-demand midfielders coming up this summer. we've heard rumors about Man United scouting him, Liverpool, all the big teams are all going for him because Brighton are also going for him. And now everybody sees it. If Brighton, they set you, we'll go straight to source. We're not going to wait to make Brighton go sign you there. Right now, if we come to middleman, they can't pay you 100 million. Right now, everybody won't go where Brighton they go shop for. So, and him too, he's been played as right back for the past how many matches? Obviously, like Van Gelder was saying, we have a lack of right backs at the moment. But in the end, I don't think, I think there are players who are there who can be used or who are good enough to fill in over there. Because in the end, international football, not everybody you are going to have in your team is going to be a superstar. It'll not be like other teams all have world-class right backs or something. Sometimes it's just about how you use them. If maybe, for example, you have this right back who is not very good going forward, but he's very solid defensively, tell him that he shouldn't cross the halfway line. Teams in Europe are doing that now. See Arsenal, how they are using centre-backs as full-back and all of those things. Those people are not like trends that they are going up and down, creating chances left and right. You just, and it all comes to how you, it all comes down to how you profile your players. And that has just been one of Otuado's biggest failures. And it's very funny because they said that at Dortmund, he was what? A talent scout or what? Somebody who he identifies as the best players in the academy and he creates a pathway for them. I've not seen anything about him that shows that this guy, this is his skill set. So him, everything about him has just been an all-round failure. And what pains me is that like people keep saying that the GFA, they've hired plenty coaches and they've all failed and all of that. And that's what people fail to understand. Just because the GFA is failing doesn't mean that just the coaches they've hired to, they can be bad. Like the GFA can be failing, the coaches they've hired to can be bad. So just because it's not entirely the coach's fault doesn't mean that the coach should be given time. Like you are all bad. It's just as the GFA, we can't sack them as easily as we can sack the coach. So fortunately or unfortunately, the coaches will have to keep changing them until the GFA finally stumbles on a good one, because that's how it's going to happen. We are probably not going to specifically find or intentionally find one. We are just going to keep trying and trying and trying until one day by mistake we find like out of every 100, last one will fall inside. So that's just what the situation is. That's what our level is right now. But right now in the coaching search, obviously we have a very short time to find one. When we're going to hire Otto Addo, for example, the GFA came up with this list of criteria that we're going to use to select a new coach. They said that the coach, I'm trying to remember off the top of my head, but they said he should have a 15-year, what? He should have 15-year experience in coaching, in top-level coaching. He should be able to implement the style of football that they are going for. Till now, myself, the style of football, I don't even know the style of football that's Ghana identifies ourselves with, but they see a style of football that's what they are trying to follow, and a whole other list of things. I've forgotten most of the things, but the problem was that Otuado didn't tick even one of the boxes. And the funny thing is that it took like about 3 months for them to finally even confirm him as the manager. So you wonder, like within that 3 months, what were they looking for if you are going to set out all these criteria and hire a manager who doesn't tick any of the boxes at all? But currently, now in this new coaching search, there are three names that have been widely speculated to be the front runners. The strongest rumors have been Kwesi Appiah, the recently fired Morocco manager, who is Walid Regragui, and Hervé Renard. Is it Hervé Renard or Hervé Renard? Hervé Renard. Him, his own, I think, is coming more from the supporters, because obviously most Ghanaian supporters, including myself, we've always seen Hervé Renard and Black Stars as a match made in heaven for the fact that he has history with the Black Stars. In 2008, he was a fitness coach under Claude Leroy. And he himself has expressed his interest in the job a number of times. He actually applied for the job before we gave it to, was it one of those Serbian Goran Stefanovic or one of those guys. And then he went on to go and coach Zambia and won AFCON with them to rub salt in our wounds. So he's one of the people who the Black Stars fans, I don't think will ever get over it until we finally see him managing the Black Stars. But Hervé Renard, Walid Regragui, and Kwesi Appiah. Those are the three names. And at the moment,
I am Black Stars fans. Me, I am Black Stars fans. Before you came on, I was giving Van Gelder this analogy. You know that one girl, right, that she showed interest in you, but then you didn't have the same feelings, right? And then you right now watch your trajectory where Charlie, you got to a point where right now you realize, hey, the league she didn't say, you know, they reach. But she too, during in prime, to into, you know, settle down. We can't happen, say, right now she didn't enter in late 30s, she not married, you not married. Like Momo, a trophy, like he, that's yours. You will not know till you try whether that's truly, truly your soulmate or it was never meant to be. I said, this behavior, Renard, we damn. Wallahi, let's go for it. If you not work, then we all move on. La Sombadora.
We go chop block.
We not go chop block. He right now, he's Saudi self-sucker. He no, we not go chop block.
But the killer, block, the we money, not go talk. See, the money he smell for Saudi like this. We not get quarter.
Whatever the case is, I know at a point after I win with Zambia and since the money was too much for us, right? You yourself admitted that it looks as if he's on a downward trajectory. What's the best way to actually show that you are going to the World Cup? It's the world stage. He needs us, we need him. Me, the Moroccan guy there, I don't mind if we go for him, but I'm not too like. The reason why I'm saying that is Hervé Renard has experience with different cultures and different countries and different type of players. He has done it both locally and internationally. Right?
And
he has done it with black and
well.
Whites. And women, you understand?
So if he comes for you.
And history has done it for both black and white. And this is somebody that has a certain level of Ghana football understanding because he has been around it. Right? And Claude Leroy is somebody where he looks like a teacher. So he definitely could discuss things with him, they advise him and all those things. And he's somebody he can still call on now. I don't know their relationship, but he can still, if based on footballing term. And he's somebody that once he walks into the dressing room, everybody for them go respect him. He's the coach where he beats Ghana with Zambia. He beats Ghana go win the AFCON. You understand? He has done it. He has been there. He has that respect. And everybody knows that he has done it with an African team. Do you get it? This Wahid guy, they come, no? I was talking about cultural differences, Van Gelder, and it's too close. Because if you can see something, where you go talk, wallahi, where you go shock him. you understand? And it's too close to this one. But if he's the one we go into, hey, he took Morocco to the semifinals. He took Morocco to the finals and they still sacked him. So based on his pedigree, he has done good. First African coach to ever do that. Take an African team to the semifinals. Right? Yeah, he has done that. He has done well. But what I'm saying is, me, my choice, I am Ghanaian. It's like we have an unfinished business, an unfinished marriage with Hervé Renard. If we go marry away, we divorce. You know, say I try, no job. If I'm single, I'm single. I tried it. But he's the one. He's the one for us. That'd be all.
You know, for me, I'm on the same side as Crack in the terms of the fact that media, Hervé Renard, media, I've been in love with him ever since the Zambia days. So him there,
I get a wife in number.
Until I see him coaching the team and I see him failing at the Black Stars, I always believe that he's the best choice for us. Because like Crack said, he ticks all the boxes. He's experienced different coaches. He's experienced African football in North Africa as the coach of Morocco. He's experienced West African football as the coach of Ivory Coast. He's experienced Zambia's FDB, Southern Africa or maybe East Africa. I don't know, but Zambia's FDB, they fall within both. In South Africa. So he's experienced football as a coach of Zambia. So like he's experienced the different corners of African football.
He's also coached for him, the French women national team.
He's also coached French women national team. He's coached Saudi. I feel like in terms of everything that we would need from a manager or from a coach, he's somebody who I feel like he would have the least trouble. Of among all the foreign managers, you have the least trouble trying to adjust. Like Crack said, with Walid Regragui, me, if you're going by his track record, in African football. That one there, he's also a very formidable option in terms of the fact that he's won the CAF Champions League. He's also taking Morocco to the AFCON final. In fact, now they are saying they win the AFCON. So he's an African. Technically, as things stand right now, on paper, he's an AFCON winner. He's an AFCON winning coach. And then he's also taking Morocco to the World Cup semi-final. So, yes, his CV is very impressive. But again, like Crack is saying, me, the fact that he's only experienced African football solely from Morocco, not even from North Africa, only from Morocco, you can't help but worry about that, like, that CV. Because if, for example, he had experienced it maybe as coach of, maybe he was coach of a team in Ivory Coast or Nigeria, and then he won CAF Champions League, and then he also coached Nigeria or Ivory Coast, and then won the AFCON, then that one you can be more confident that he can relate more to the Ghanaian situation, the Ghanaian culture and everything. But honestly, when it comes to North Africa and West Africa, our culture is very different. You might as well be comparing somebody who has coached in Europe to somebody, to an African situation. Like, their culture is very different. I don't know how well that experience will translate to West African football. And there's also the fear that his experience with Morocco, it comes more down to his emotional ties to the Moroccan national team and as being a Moroccan manager and all of that, in addition to being the coach of Wydad Raja Casablanca or Wydad Casablanca, sorry. Those are more of emotional ties that you have to those teams that help fuel your motivation and everything. So even when you're motivating the team, there's a more emotional aspect of it. Yeah. When it comes to now coming to a West African team, it has to go beyond that. You can't just motivate, like when you're motivating your countrymen, like that one, you're trying to let them know that this is going to be a huge achievement for us. Everything is us. That aspect, that angle. But when you're coming to us, the dynamics are very different. So as much as I wouldn't be too opposed to him being appointed in terms of the fact that when I look at all the managers we've hired recently, almost everybody we've hired has been on a downward trajectory, or they are just on, like, I can't say that we've hired any manager who has been on an upward trajectory. Correct me if I'm wrong. But if you take Milovan Rajevac, for example, that guy was in the footballing wilderness and we came to pull him out and decided that we are going to use nostalgia to bring him back and hope that he can recreate what he did in 2010. The same thing happened with Kwesi Appiah. We couldn't find any good managers. We said, okay, we'll just take you quick, give Kwesi Appiah again because he's taking us to, was this an AFCON final? Otuado, they just went and they decided that, you don't even know what trajectory you can decide to put him on because he took us, he qualified us for the 2022 World Cup and then they decided that they couldn't find a manager again, so they decided to give it to him again. So it's not like he was on any trajectory at all. He wasn't coaching any team for you to say that he was going up or he was going down. He just decided to give it to him. Same with, which other managers? Chris Hughton. He too was also in the footballing wilderness. He had been sacked very early from his most recent jobs. We went to give him the job. So like, the thing is, all our managers in recent times, they are all on a downward trajectory. Walid Regragui, you can't say that he's on a downward trajectory just because he was signed by Morocco, because he did a phenomenal job with them. So his career too, he's still a fairly young manager. His career is starting. He's done very well. So that would be, for me, the first manager that we hired that is actually on an upward trajectory. So in that regard, that would make me very optimistic about hiring him. And he would also have a lot to prove to the Moroccan people, because when you have somebody who has a chip on his shoulder and he's trying to show his ex-employers that they made a mistake in sacking him, I feel like to some extent, that's also something that is fueling Kwesi Appiah in Sudan. And he has also done a phenomenal job with them over there. So in that regard, I honestly wouldn't be opposed to hiring him, particularly because for him, as I know, I don't know what his wage demands would be, but I know that it would probably be less than Hervé Renard, because Hervé Renard, as I know, I think He's been sacked by Saudi Arabia, according to the rumors. But as of now, I know that he's earning within the region of $250,000 a month. Otuado was on $50,000 a month. And even that one, South Ghanaians, they complain. So this jump, like me already, me, when it comes to paying coaches and all of those things, I don't really like that thing Ghanaians do where we try to just compare to other things, that why would they pay football coach this amount and we know they pay like doctors. See, when it comes to football, you're operating within the football ecosystem. And this is the amount you have to pay if you want to hire a top manager. That's just what it is. You can't say that you go hire a top manager with $10,000 a month, like as if the person be some director for Cocoa Board or something. Like, if you are playing in the football ecosystem, you just have to accept that the best managers are going as this price. So if you want the best, you have to pay money that is within that region. So even the $50,000 we pay our managers and things, we are operating on a lower scale, and it reflects in the type of managers that we have. So if you want the best, you have to pay that type of money. It's just as simple as that. So in that regard, I also understand that jumping from $50,000 to $250,000, it's a huge jump. Maybe Hervé Renard will give you some discounts based on the emotional connection he said he had for us in the past. So I just know that it's, as being the coach of Saudi Arabia, you are going to be obviously be paid more than the coach of Morocco. So based on that, I think the coach of Morocco or the ex-coach of Morocco would probably come at a lower price tag. So just based on that, I think I wouldn't be opposed to that. In addition, people have also mentioned other names, popular names like Pitso Mosimane and all those other guys. I feel like that one too would also be an interesting prospect. So I feel like there are a lot of names that even on a temporary basis, we can find some arrangements, because I know that there are also a lot of managers who would be very eager to also go and coach at the World Cup. Pitso Mosimane, for example, I know that he's definitely eager to coach in the World Cup. So he would probably be willing to make some concessions for us if possible. Because he too, I know that he was being paid very well when he was coach of Al Ahly. So he also have very high wage demands, but possibly lower now that maybe you are going into a World Cup. He knows that there's a short time between now and then to prepare. I don't know. I'm just speculating. But yeah, for me, based on realistic appointments, I think Walid Regragui, he wouldn't be a bad option. But Rangiora, for you, who would be at the top of your list?
I'm not as keen on Hervé Renard as you both are. And that is not anything to do with his competence. I just have this weird aftertaste, bad feeling behind, like, it just no work. Like, I don't know. There's no logical explanation. So if you want a logical explanation why I don't think it will work, you are not getting one. Make I just talk that up front. Regarding to Itu, I get the same. But he owned, at the CM small, like, because he was sacked, quote-unquote, unfairly by Morocco, he might want to use another team to sort of do redemption act. But in my head, I'm also like, okay, so right now, if Morocco repents from the machines, where he began a coach, where he then kind of say, bro, assalamu alaikum. I don't know how then they don't come back home for French or this thing is either. What we go do? Because most likely than not, he will leave. That's the truth. He will go back home to Morocco and go pick up because he's Moroccan. Do you see what I mean? Because he appeared there in time past, make we stop that. In time past, make we stop that. Make we not even bother. But so for me, I don't know. And the truth, and the big reason, this thing self we they talk. If it is self, then we'll go carry bomb, can't give we. You and I know. Then go take the job self, give this one affair. It go shock you, then just go take give this one affair.
I've actually heard rumors about that one too. Desmond Ofen, like his day.
So everybody tell you, say, this thing we do, it'd be waste of experiments. Because at the end of the day, then go take the job, give whoever. Right now, no, I see some cheaters say, before I receive 600 applications. That'd be the same lie, then tell we the time we then do this thing, then go take. Make I read the criteria I give you. Number one, the potential head coach should be a proven winner in coaching top men's national team or club football. Let's remember that our budget is $50,000. Two, must have a football philosophy that aligns with or complements our DNA. DNA, Papa Ben. DNA, Papa Ben.
But I'm sorry. If this be the criteria match our DNA, then why we shall go to Toronto?
Wait, make I tell you. Make I tell you. It be 5 points. If we meet this 5 points criteria, they'll say it be thorough and strategic approach. Look, I read. Three, must hold the highest football license in the world with over 15 years coaching experience. Four, proven track record in team reconstruction, organization, and development of young talents. Five, proven disciplinarian, tactician, and leadership skills. This will be the five-prong approach. Five criteria you for meet. If you apply for job way, then list the criteria like this. You and Kasa, if you go look at the criteria where you look your CV, then you can talk, it's okay. Me and Kasa, I know they match four of this essential criteria. So make her just what? Make her know even what? Apply. But if you go ahead of yourself, if you can say you be goon, you be guy, you go take a Claude AI, spec your CV to the criteria, automated application system go identify, say this thing is fake. So you apply, then 2 minutes later, like you say, dear applicant, unfortunately, we are not going ahead with you. We have decided to go with other candidate that best suits. This with their criteria, then take a point to Otuado. Maybe the only one be there. The football philosophy that aligns with or complements our DNA, because our DNA be matra and makwe. Way into in DNA be matra and makwe. So it emerge. That be the only criteria way it match. Outside of that, nothing else. Nothing else. So I can't take an organization that lays out this criteria for appointment of a coach and grab somebody that, let's be honest, in all sincerity, doesn't meet even one of these criteria and goes ahead to appointment and tell us this is the best option. After all day, we got over 200 CVs. Today, they say between Donti, 1 o'clock, then now, they've received 600 CVs. I don't know if Jimmy Anna. Hey, killer, see, make we know what they're on about here. They are going to, they've already know who they want to appoint. As we speak, they probably start to draw contracts. They probably start to draw contracts. This guy, he did sports ministry. He too, he picked mine by force, the day for go. So he did search somebody way, then go. Hey, just, I don't even, then for chop arm slap. You know, she say you get diplomatic passport. Smiley, if you pass airport, you for lock him for that side. If you talk, say you they suspect drugs, then you go hold him or something. Because it doesn't make any sense. Also, make he come back and explain body to Sharaf Mahama.
So, before we end this, I just want to talk a bit about Chelsea and what is going on with their players on international break. I know that we are used to players lose talking a lot during international break. As a Man United fan, every time Pogba went away for international break, everybody had to hold their breath because the guy was just going to say all sorts of rubbish. But now Chelsea, it looks like there's, I don't want to call it a coordinated effort because everybody just has a freedom of mind about everything going on at Chelsea. And I think the most scathing remarks have come from Cucurella, who, during an interview, he was talking about everything to do with Chelsea and their structure and everything. And he basically said that the Chelsea ownership caused instability in the squad by firing Enzo Maresca at the time that he was fired. And he also spoke about the lack of experience in the squad building that Chelsea have going on. And that as a player who is trying to win trophies in the present, it doesn't give you a lot of hope to see young players walking through the door all the time. So that's just the gist of what Cucurella has said. I think a lot of people have already seen the comments and everything. But my God, as a Chelsea fan, how do you feel about the comments? Because apart from that too, he said some things. He basically implied that Rossini, like the guy, is not really...
Between him and Kwesi Otuado, I don't know who is worse. Let's be serious. Me, I tell you, the time that my point I'm torn, where I tell you, say, this guy, me, who knew ye, but Eja, for equality, diversity, and make we just give him chance, see whether when a black brother go feel show
with something. I won't let you do this to Rosina now. Don't do that. He has a winning record. Otuado left with a losing record. What do you mean?
His winning record is that we lost 8-2 to PSG. That's his winning record.
He still has, a winning record.
They said the guy in GPA be 4.0.
What bounce edge. Make go such a way. See what I tell you.
You get Einstein as coach, you know, like.
I'm very delighted that the Chelsea players are speaking up. Because at the end of the day, it be them that my career's day on the line. Me as a day, my career no be linked to Chelsea Football Club. If we decide, say, we would be rubbish, I just go tune out. Just tune out, concentrate on my family, concentrate on my job, find another sport. Maybe I'll pick up running, cycling. Sometimes I'll go pick up another sport. Move on. But it be the players that my life and my livelihood, they depend on the football. So it be them for speak out. So right now, they have former Chelsea players and legends speaking out, fans speaking out, and soon the players then take build the so-called projects, you know. It be them now to then start to speak out. She said Enzo talk already. Cucurella to talk. Right now, all he left, make nobody take my good stamp called Palma in front. Because if Palma open your mouth, we die because that. But at the end of the day, you see, these are the so-called leaders and most experienced players in the team. So, like, you can tell that half of these players want the season to end and they don't want to play for this manager because the guy, you know, Wabon, is giving me flashbacks of Pochettino, but a worse version of Poch. Like, we never have any control. We don't look like we are going to do anything. Like, he starts, he they win. At the kind of time he they win, and they tell people, say, there's something I can't put my hand on. These wins, they come, but still, it doesn't fill me with confidence. And right now, you can tell that the players they are not playing for him. They are not playing for him. And the owners, then they will try and make stubborn. But me, as I talk from the beginning of the season, the people we there for go be them two hideous twins, Wayne Stewart, Paul Wayne Stanley, and then Nkuzon. Those two men have to leave Chelsea Football Club for us to have any form or semblance of stability. Any, if Bernard Ekbali really, really, really wants to reap the returns on the investment he's made, because I think the only thing he understands is profits, then he has to understand that he can't be so strong-headed about strategy. This is not business. This is football. I think they have been very surprised by this outburst by the players. And I hope more, just that, what in the column, somebody like I said, though, he never will come out, can't talk about the club because he started showing loyalty, no be today. So you no go talk anything. Reece James too, he no go talk anything, but they give comments. So if you go play people them a post, they go refunder, you are right. Then since you know talk so, but you can't come and say, yes, you are right. Good speech, whatever. But Cucurella is absolutely right. You can't keep bringing kids through the door and then tell the few experienced players there that they must win something. Or sack the only coach that gave you a semblance of stability that made you look even remotely competitive. First of all, you let him down by not signing a center back when he asked you to, which is fine. Sometimes coaches don't always get it right, right? And you don't want to be in a situation where you go and buy players for a coach like what Man United did for, what would be the guy in him, say, Ten Hag. Then now, the players, you, he forced you make you go buy him. You know what I mean? But you they had to have listened to him and at least brought in a player with the profile of who Enzo believes that Liverpool is to the team. They didn't listen. Then he picked mine. He said, okay, if you don't listen to me, if Man City say then the one becomes a CPM, me too, I go entertain the talk. Then I go tell you, say, are they talk to Man City, by the way? Because I know they fear you at this point. Whatever can come. You see? And then you go and appoint this Rosinho guy. Look, if he go Hull City or something, nobody go bat an eye. But this is Chelsea Football Club. This is Chelsea Football Club. We can be as shit as whatever, but we are still Chelsea Football Club. There's a certain level that the fans and the ownership and everybody would demand of you. And if you can't live up to that level, just do the honorable thing and resign. And resign. Finish. It'd be simple. Like, I can't even bring my head. We've been so poor. Like, I watched the game.
You watching the talk. What did they talk? What do you mean by should be the honorable thing?
Bro, he get look. Man, what
do you mean by honorable? No, guy, stop that. What do you mean by honorable? You criminals. Candy, if you go there, criminal organization. Listen, you go there, criminal organization. You start moving like them. What do you mean? You design players, they give them 8 to 10 years contract. Some say you give them 15 years contract. Some say they're not born them for them. My mother is told me you sign contract like them. You get strategy already. These players were in a complaint. As soon as they go sign their 7 years, 10 years, 8 years contract, no. What were they thinking? Me.
They are not. See, that be the so thing. Far. Not
why did they ask yourself the reason why they brought the coach in? He's doing it. Keep them afloat and sell the players. You didn't bring him to come and win trophies. If you won't support him when win trophy, he won't win trophies. Then quit Chelsea, because that's not your plan now. Your plan, you are a selling club. It's a business. So no, come tell me, say, ordinary. Why? This is a football team. How is he coaching affecting your life? If you think it's affecting your life, do the honorable thing and switch clubs. Make you quit. Make somebody be unemployed because of your feelings. What do you mean? The effrontery of Chelsea fans, because of your feelings, somebody in father and somebody in son. When he was appointed, do you see his dad on Premier League TV? Do you see how proud this was? You want to? I don't care. Fan. You still want to deny? You want to deny a father and a black man? A black man. You see, this is what they pay me because a black coach. Did they pay me because a black coach? The moment you get a black coach and your racist genes comes up, that racist antennas come up. Meanwhile, you don't have the same energy for everybody. I don't care.
I'll be somebody go search coach. We go free release.
That's none of your. He's already employed. You can't release him. The thing is that
we can't release him. Say,
look. Don't tell him to quit his job. If you don't like him, sack him. Pay him a severance package and let him go. Like, how do you want to deny a family of this happiness? How do you want to deny a young coach the opportunity to grow right and win this? How do you want to like, you know, right now say, you know, you did Britain. You know how it hard to for people to get jobs now. The guy has gotten a job and you want him to quit. For what? I'll be back.
Make you go age men for another place. It'll be here. Make you go age them for another place. It'll be here. Make you go see Manchester Day there. He's a Phoebe Hall boy. Make you go back to Hull City. Or as United the search code this summer, we go feel Sakam by May, middle of May. So you go feel prep in CV nice, take apply. Sometime you will go see him, you go like him. I mean, you'll be diversity and quality people. Maybe you go give him the job. But Chelsea, dear, he can't be our manager next year. I'm sorry. Like, it's just not possible. And at the end of the day, if they want their returns, which is the only thing it seems like they care about, then they have to honestly decide whether they want the club to succeed. So they have to choose. Do you do it now Or do you do it later? And if you are doing it later, you have to, if you give a coach 5-year contract, you have to close your eyes and let him do it. But it has to be the right coach and the right fit. You can't just go and bring anybody KK. Say Mickey can't coach Chelsea. So media, I'm happy that the players are talking. I wish more players would talk. Make the other big boys talk. Make Kupama can say, oh, make regimes talk, you know. Make Neto talk, you know. Make everybody just talk. Even in the Intebi, make them all talk them out. Make Garnacho self can talk, you know. Make all the players talk them out. So say the owners, then go sit up, then sack those sporting directors. Because if those sporting directors don't go, then check like GFA. I know they trust them, say they go make any serious good appointment. If it them the problem they start with, them for go first. If them go, then from there, we will feel see if maybe the club will feel come back to normal footing. But right now, me, I'm happy. The players will keep talking. You see, if you lose dressing room, so no. You come, you know, chop 4 months, you lose dressing room. Make we end the podcast then go out there.
With that, we've come to the end of this episode. If you haven't done this already, please follow our social media pages, Twitter, Instagram, ATW Podcast GCR, TikTok, After the Whistle. Subscribe to the YouTube, leave a comment, share, like, all of those things, comment. But yeah, anyway, we've come to the end of this episode. Charlie, guys, thank you for joining us. Crack, once again, 2 episodes in a row, you've had to join us from the office, so we appreciate the sacrifice. So anyway, Charlie, thank you for joining, and as always, ATW dominates the conversation.